I was praying a couple hours ago. I was praying that the Lord would use Brother Jake today. And will quicken him. Give him grace. I had nothing. I was worn out last night. In judgment. I'm fighting. I was worn out this morning. Barely had time to read the word. A little bit. A couple hours. I wasn't planning on preaching. But I know the Lord speaks to me by His grace. As I seek not my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And that's why I knew what the Lord wanted me to speak on today. And then He just began to flood me with a burden and a vision from heaven that needs to be uttered. I don't want to waste your time. But I beg you to listen attentively. Get out your Bible. You can take notes if you want, but if it hinders you from hearing and listening, don't do it. Listen. Please. It could mean life or death for your eternal welfare. If you don't get this, this is not burned upon your heart. This which the Lord burned on my heart. This which has kept me in the way for many years now. Many trials, toils and snares which I've already come from. You will turn aside quickly out of the way. I was reading Exodus 32. Before that, in my own time, I've been reading Revelation. And I turned to Exodus 32. And I read the first verse and I knew this is what we need to hear. God said, this is it. And this is what we need to fear. And this is what we need to remember. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up. Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And I read that. And the Lord reminded me of Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in themselves to do evil. What I want to preach on, rather allow and help together with the Lord to preach, to impart afresh. It's the fear of God and the judgment of God. Hebrews 5 verse 1. One of the principal milk doctrines of the faith. Eternal judgment. Brethren, if you want to go on unto perfection, if you want to go on unto heaven, If you want to be made like Jesus Christ more and more, which if you're not, you will not have an abundant entrance into heaven. If you're not growing like Jesus Christ and more every day able to take in the meat of the Word of God, you are on the right hand or the left. You are out of the way, friend. You have need that one would teach unto you the principal doctrines of the faith afresh. And if you can't keep these in your mind, if you are a broken cistern which cannot hold the water of the principal doctrines of the faith, eternal judgment, we can't talk about the love of God. That is not a principal doctrine of the faith. Eternal judgment. The love of God comes after the fear of God. And alongside with the fear of God in this flesh. But someone would say, why? Why are you downplaying the love of God? I'm not downplaying the love of God. I love God. Brethren, we live in a body, a vile body of death that is prone to wander. Our old man, the world in us, is inclined to deny Him. It's at enmity against the Lord and all righteousness. And it's still here, and we are still in this body. When you, brethren, that make it, then oh, I hope that you all make it to heaven. But if you don't get a good dose of the fear of God, if the judgment of God is not conscientiously, wholeheartedly, perpetually before your eyes in everything that you do, I have no liberty to believe you will make it to heaven. You will be blotted out of the book of life. And you will deny the Lord. And for all of eternity, you will be filled with shame and hell. If you don't understand the fear of God in this body of death, brethren, when you have a glorified body, then we can talk about the love of God perpetually, and we don't have to worry about the fear of God anymore. But as long as you're in this body with this old man that seeketh to devour whomsoever he would, the world and the devil, then we need to perpetually be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And the world is at ease, brethren. Under the wrath of God, they are at ease. And our old man is at ease in Zion and lukewarm under the wrath of God and loves to have it so and has pleasure and knows to do the same thing. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye have not been born or bought with corruptible things of silver and gold, with the precious blood of Christ, if you knew yourself, you would never say, why are we preaching so much on the fear of God? Why do we have to keep this perpetually in our mind? Why? If you knew yourself and your inclination to quickly turn out of the way, if you knew how wicked your old man was, if you were still convinced of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, if you still believed, the Bible says about our old man, about the sinful nature of men, that you have not been utterly set free. In your spirit, you have an old brethren. Love the Lord in spirit and in truth, and we are the circumcision which rejoice in Christ Jesus and worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, in the flesh, we fear. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And there's a joy in our soul, in our spirit. There's a fear knowing ourselves. And if we don't keep ourselves in subjection, we will deny the only Lord God for a morsel of bread. My burden, particularly, are you conscientious of the judgment of God? Are you still convinced of sin, of righteousness, but primarily of the judgment of God? For the God of this world is judge. That's how you got saved. That's why you were afraid you might wake up in hell when you were seeking God in fear and trembling, because you were convinced. But now you think, since you're saved and you're an object of God's mercy from everlasting to everlasting, you think you don't need to be convinced of judgment anymore. Brethren, your old man has to ever be put down. You have to ever be perpetually conscientious that you will stand before God. Second Corinthians 5:10. Verse 9. Wherefore, we labor, we toil, we run scared, we flee from the wrath to come, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in us to will and do His own good pleasure. We labor. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Do you? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore, perpetually conscientious therefore, of the fear of God, the terror of God, we persuade men. Are you conscientious, as Paul, of the terror of God? Save ye not a confederacy, Isaiah, to them to whom this people will say a confederacy. Don't fellowship and compromise with the world, but sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Do you acknowledge in your mind every choice that you make and every step that you take, every thought that you think, that you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you will receive the things done in your body according to that you have done, and so will your mom, and so will your family, and so will your friends. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. You don't have a heavy dose of the terror of God ever abiding upon your conscience, you will deny Him. You will wander out of the way of understanding. You will go to the congregations of the dead with those that are ease in Zion. The wrath of God will smoke against you. If you don't tremble before God. He says in the same line, the same passage of thinking, in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I don't want you to be constrained by the love of God. But make sure you can write in an epistle 4 verses up that you know the terror of the Lord and you persuade men. At the same time as the love of God constrains you to preach to men. Of some have compassion. Be overwhelmed, enveloped by the love of God, making a difference. But others, save with fear, hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. Brethren, I can remember being in New York City years ago now. And I'd be preaching out there, and I'm not the best preacher. And I don't have the strongest voice. And I'm not made to be an open-air preacher. And I'm not a quick tongue. But I preached out there with the fear of God emanating from my very being, because I felt it. Because I spent nights where I was so terrified I couldn't even speak a word. As I read what this book says about God's wrath against sin, yea, against my own old man, this part of me that's been crucified with Christ by faith. But I'm supposed to fear, be not high-minded, but fear, lest my flesh rise up and I begin to deny the only Lord God that bought me, to tread underfoot the blood of Christ, for me to think that I wouldn't do it. Calling God a liar. Not believing the Bible. Forgotten who I am. Looking in the mirror of the Bible and then walking around forgetting what I look like. Who my old man is. And until you reach those golden gates, brother, fear. I remember the main reason many a man was moved by my preaching. Because they knew that I believed that they were going to hell. Not because of my preaching. Not because of my eloquence. They knew that I believed what was coming out of my mouth. They didn't even have to look or listen to what was coming out of my mouth. They saw my countenance. They knew that I was not joking. They're going to the lake of fire. A fire is kindled in God's wrath, and it will burn to the lowest hell. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Beyond words, the fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? Brethren, God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? The lion which turneth not aside from any. The lion that can roar and be heard 5 miles away. That can snuff up a dust cloud. You're not afraid of the line of the tribe of Judah. You won't make it. You'll deny him. You will turn quickly out of the way like those Israelites did in Exodus 32. You will make you a calf, and you will eat, and you will drink, and you will rise up to play. And you will go to hell. Because that's not God. Psalm 76, verse 9. Thou, even thou, art to be feared. And who may stand before thee when once thou art angry? It says later in the same passage, thou that oughtest to be feared. Thou that oughtest to be feared. Brethren, if you don't fear, you don't know God. Psalm 119, verse 20. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Men see demons, and they're afraid. The disciples saw Jesus walking, and they thought they'd seen a spirit, and they were afraid. Can you imagine the heart-wrenching terror when men see God? And the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And I saw a great white throne. Are you conscious of that? Have you lived your daily life in ever conscientious awareness that John saw a great white throne? From whose face, and him from whose face, the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And the books were open. They were judged, every man according to their works. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. You must overcome the world. You must overcome your old man and sin. In you lieth at the door and hath desired thee. Brethren, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Is your face set as flint? To overcome. Come what may, I'm going to follow Jesus. Come what may, I'm going to fear God. Establish thy servant. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Establish. Don't let it be stolen away from me. Establish thy word. This doctrine of eternal judgment to thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. The fear. Jacob's father Isaac. The great and terrible God of Nehemiah. Revelation 2, verse 11, to the Smyrna church, this blessed church, this righteous church, this heaven-bound group of saints on the upward way, new heights they're gaining every day. No rebuke for the Smyrna church. God says, because He loved them. God loves you. That's why I'm preaching this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Greatest remedy for the wrath of man, for the fear of man, for the fear of persecution, misunderstandings, being ostracized, is the fear of God. There's no replacement. You will fear man. You will be ensnared by the fear of man, which bringeth a snare. You will be cursed. Be the man that trusteth in man, yet it feareth man, that hearkeneth unto men before God, and maketh man his trust, and his heart departeth from the Lord. The only remedy in the Bible, fear God. Proverbs 24, 21 through 22. My son, Christian, child of God, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with your old man that's given to change. Meddle not with the world that's shifting sands, that's changing with the culture. Meddle not with culture of Christianity that's being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the cunning craftiness of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. Because they're not on the rock. They cannot be shaken. They're being shaken. But wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Let us serve God acceptably. Reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. God, and get in that furnace, brethren. If those men were not utterly terrified of the judgment of God, if they were not conscientiously present of the terror of God, you know they would have bowed down to that idol. So will you. You will worship the golden calf. Nothing brings wrath of God like idolatry. That is not God. That is the devil. That is being worshipped like Santa Claus, where people are eating and drinking and rising up to play, where they're at ease in Zion. That's not God. If you fear God, you would jump in that furnace. Though it be heated seven times hotter than any other fire. Though the wrath of Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest absolute monarch that ever was, aside from Jesus Christ. Those men were terrified of God. Zephaniah chapter 1. The word of the Lord, which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. This was God's word to a remnant that he brought to righteousness, to a Passover that was being kept rightly in his name. This was his love for those men. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chimerims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord, and that say we worship Jehovah, and them that swear by the Lord and take his name in vain, and God will not hold him guiltless and take his name in vain, and that swear by Malcolm. Them that are turned back from the Lord, those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. If you don't fear God, you will not seek the Lord. You will trust in your own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. Fear God and inquire at his throne and call upon his name. Trust his word, not your heart. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared his sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's house with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How, ye inhabitants of Makdesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Verse 12. Again, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. Are you at ease? Are you settled on your lees in Christianity, brethren? It ought never to be. God will punish you if you're not sighing and groaning or the abominations that are done in the city. You are partaking if you are not reproving, present progressively. If you are not sighing and groaning and utterly doing all that you can to see this abomination, this Jesus of the world that is an imagination of the heart of men, destroyed, reproved, exposed. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. If you are not wholeheartedly, deliberately trying to expose this calf worship of the devil, you're in trouble with the Lord. He will punish all those that sit on their lees and are okay with the status quo of blasphemy against the holy name of Jesus Christ. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man, shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath.
a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell on the land. To the remnant. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired. O nation not desired. Before the decree. Before the judgment. Bring forth. Before the day pass as the shaft. Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, that wait on him, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be. You shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He told that generation that judgment was coming because he loved them. Do you think he didn't want them to be conscientious of the judgment that was to come? Do you think judgment is not coming upon this nation? That the cry of the United States, the cry of the church in the United States, hasn't come up before heaven? And it's not grievous sin? Oh, brother, it has come. He is angry. Praise God, he's sparing a remnant. But are you fleeing from the wrath to come? Are you fleeing from idolatry? Are you fleeing for your very life? Ralph Barnum preached a sermon, Running Scared. Are you running scared today? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets to his servants, the prophets. If you are right with God, you know judgment's coming upon this land. The wrath of God is waxing hot now. I'm terrified. What will happen to this land? I would rather die a martyr's death and see what is going to happen to this land, to this church that hath forsaken God. Harden their neck against his spirit. Ralph Barner. Excerpt from Running Scared. This is at the end of his life. I believe this man made it to heaven for one reason. Because he feared God. He trembled at God. That's why when he preached on the fear of God, you fear. Because it had been burned upon his heart to the core of his soul. This is right before he died. He's a very old man now, about to die. And he's still fearing. He never forsook the fear of God. Most have. Godly men ceased. Faithful fell from among children of men. I don't believe Ralph Barnum did. Luke 12, 1 through 5. He says, the body of Christ needs to meet together to hear the gospel preached in its purity and its proper order. Then go out and witness a good confession. Whatever the circumstances are, God's true people have been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not our own. We do not live for ourselves. We have lost our life that we may gain it. If this is not true of us, we are not God's children. Today, in a generation that has been utterly sinned against, in that we have forgotten that the gospel must be preached in its purity and in its proper order. A man cannot hear the gospel until he has been utterly slain by the law and left desperate with no hope within himself. Not until that will he care whether Jesus is the Son of God or not, whether he died for sinners or not, because he is not interested. The only weapon that God the Holy Ghost has or has had to prepare men to listen and receive the gospel, that is God's holy requirements. Unless the man is desperate, he cannot even hear, much less receive the gospel of God concerning his Son. A man has to be desperate before he will cry for help or beg God for mercy. We have a Jesus cult today in America. Everybody thinks mighty well of Jesus, but to hell with God. Is that too tough for you? But they do not know Jesus as their Lord and God the Father as the lawgiver. Our gospel has been wrong. Would you be interested in listening to the truth long enough that the gospel would be good news to you? If you ever hear the gospel as gospel, you will be saved right then. The big need of every community now in churches with the man of God filled with the Holy Ghost preaching the Word of God like it should be preached, so that some would definitely reject and some would be conquered by Christ, the Christ of the gospel. He then picks up on his text. God came to Noah and said, Noah, judgment is coming. Noah, judgment is coming. I am going to destroy all those people with a flood all on earth. Noah had to go by was God's word. And the most solemn thing I face and the most crushing burden any human being can bear is the burden of living in a generation that doesn't believe a word of the Bible. God knows what a burden it is to live every day of your life among your neighbors and your relatives and your church members and folks you work with, work for. And you believe that every step men take is one step nearer to the awful, consuming judgment of God. And you try to talk to them and they don't believe a word of it. How in the name of God can I confess Christ in a generation that doesn't believe God? In a generation that if you talk to them about the judgment of God, they don't know what on God's earth you are talking about. There's old Bill. He's headed straight for the judgment. There's my son or my daughter. They're headed for the judgment, but they don't believe it, and I do. Now, brother, that's a burden. It's foolish to claim to be a Christian unless you devote your life just to two things. The proclamation from the Holy Scriptures of the holy character of God and His righteous demands and commands. And number two, then pointing men and women who will listen to the only place of escape, which is Christ. Now that is what Noah did. He ran scared. He believed something. He believed that God was going to bring judgment on men and women. He couldn't see it, but he truly believed it. An old evangelist used to say, some of these days, some little humble believer was going to pick up the Bible, read it, and believe it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could believe it? Not argue about it. Not sit around in nice little sessions merely discussing it. But with the help of the Holy Ghost, believe it. And he said that little simple believer is going to make the rest of us folks ashamed of ourselves. Oh, says some fundamentalist, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. Let me tell you this fact. A man only believes what he obeys, what he puts into practice. If I had just one sermon to preach and I was the only preacher to preach and I could get in some public place as the people of the world pass by, I tell you what I would do. I would hold up my hands and I'd lift up my voice and I would cry, stop, people! You're headed for a meeting with the holy law of God! There is one thing that no human being will escape. Every human being has got to deal with the holy law of God. But, oh, won't it be awful to come and have to face a God whose will and His way, His demands, His commands, and His requirements are expressed in His law, and you have ignored them? If you choose to neglect or refuse, you will still be judged by it. You will end up facing the curse of the broken law. The word of the divine lawgiver to you will be, depart from me into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If these truths ever sink in and you actually hear them, you will cry out to the holy God to have mercy. You will know you need a mediator, the man Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. My only hope, my only plea, Christ Jesus died and he died for me. Which will it be as you look into the mirror of God's holy requirements and demands? Number one, we will not have this man to rule over us and demand of us. Or number two, oh my God, is there any hope for me? Now you heard for the first time, and the gospel is good news to a convicted sinner. Oh Father, may the Spirit of Almighty God be pleased to convict men of their sinful lost condition and their need of the only mediator, the man Christ Jesus. We pray this in his blessed name. Amen. Are you still convinced of the judgment of God? Is it at the forefront of your mind like that 68, 69-year-old man? Does it consume your thoughts every day? Judgment's coming! Judgment's coming! Because judgment's coming, brethren. And it's supposed to make you afraid. And you're supposed to remember it. Because God's Word says so. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Please listen. Listen. Only take heed to thyself that... I'm sorry. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and they depart from the heart all the days of thy life. But reach them thy sons... But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. Specially remember this, brethren. Specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Specially remember the judgment to come, the fear of God, the holiness of God. Exodus chapter 19. Have you been to Mount Sinai, brother? Don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Have you been afraid before God? Have you stood in dreaded terror and spake as Moses? I did tremble exceedingly. Brethren, it's not an option. You will not make it if you are not terrified before this holy God. You will end up trying to work out your salvation without fear and trembling, without God. You will end up turning and reverting to the flesh, to the congregation of the dead, and loving to have it so, and justifying yourself in easiness of Zion. You will. You will not obey his voice when he tells you to go straight up Mount Difficulty, when he tells you to do the very thing, the only thing you don't want to do. There's no way around it. But if you have the fear of God, choose the fear of God. Choose to obey His voice and not your heart. Brethren, you can confess Him all the days of your life until 5 minutes before you come to die and a man has a gun at your head. Or a man's threatening to kill you. And you'll deny Him for a morsel of bread and you'll go to hell. And all of this labor and all of this fear was in vain because you didn't tremble, you feared God. You'd say, man, I'm afraid of God. I'm afraid of you. You should fear God, sir. There was a man in the 1500s. This man, I can remember not his name, but he was sentenced to die in the reign of Bloody Mary for righteousness' sake. Because he wouldn't bow down to the Roman Catholics. And he was going to the stakes, and he ended up denying the Lord and signing a covenant, a compromise against the Lord. And his conscience ate him so greatly, brother. He was so afraid of God because he knows, and his doctrine probably believed in perseverance of the saints. But he knows, he knew in his heart, he knew what the Bible said. He knew, if you deny me, I will deny you. So this man reverted back what he had said. He confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And they put him in the fire. And the first thing he did was put his hand in the fire. Burn my hand for denying the Lord. Then he burned alive. And it was worth it. You need the fear of God. You will sell your soul to the devil for a piece of bread, for 5 minutes of entertainment, for a little bit of peace and comfort in this life of death for a couple years, if that's what you get. And you'll probably end up committing suicide for the guilt of your conscience smiting you, just like Pilate, Pontius Pilate did after he had denied the Lord. Historically, he is said to have committed suicide because his conscience so smote him. Meddle not with those that are given to change. Fear God! Exodus chapter 19. In the third month after the Exodus, they come through the Red Sea, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt. The same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagles' wings quickly, with very high hand, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine already. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. That was God's desire. That was God's will for them. And what's the first thing he does? He takes them to the school of the fear of God at Mount Sinai. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. This generation said that at least 3 times in the book of Exodus. Oh, we'll obey the Lord. We'll keep His commandments. But brethren, they never got that dose that you need of the fear of God, and they denied Him to the death when it was their time to come into the promised land. That evil report, that the fences are built up to heaven, the giants are too great, we cannot defeat them. Destroy them. They defeated themselves. They didn't believe their God. They would have sent the hornets before them. Would have gotten a consuming fire before them. Would have been with them. Would have been turning them against themselves. They denied the Lord that bought them. And God never gave them repentance. Though they sought it with tears. They begged Moses, Oh Lord, please, we'll go to the promised land. And then they tried to go to the promised land. And Moses said, Don't you go to the promised land. God is not with you anymore. You fear men. And you deny God. And you're cut off. And they wander for 40 more years in the wilderness, brother. Because they did not get this. This was God's purpose. This was God's system and way of bringing many sons unto glory. You have to go to Mount Sinai. And brethren, you've got to remember Mount Sinai. You can't forget it. Have you trembled? Have you exceedingly quaked before God? The Lord must call down lightning and thunder from heaven before your eyes that you would see that He's holy. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether he be a beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from Mount Sinai, from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trumpet, trumpet. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether, the far part, or beneath part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, people cannot come up to Mount Sinai without chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain, sanctify it. And the Lord said unto Moses, away, get thee down. Thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon him. So Moses went down upon the people, spake unto them. The next 17 verses are the Ten Commandments. You want to know what God spake to them? You saw in verse 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, that was the Lord. He was speaking. What was he speaking during that time? The Ten Commandments. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. That voice that God answered him by, that was the Ten Commandments. God was speaking, and they were terrified. He didn't add aught to it. He didn't diminish aught from it. That's what he said. That's what he meant. And if you don't keep those Ten Commandments perfectly, word, thought, and deed, for the rest of your life, then you need Jesus Christ. And if you don't obey the voice of Jesus Christ, full stop, with all of your heart to the end, you will deny Jesus Christ. His right crown rights over your life. And you will deny Him, and He will deny you, and He will be ashamed of you when He comes in the glory of His Father and the glory of His angels, brethren. You need a dose of this law. If you think you're a good person, if you think you can make it to heaven on your own, you need to see how far short you have fallen of the glory of God, and you need to ever keep it before your mind and your heart and be convinced of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. He's so holy, brethren. He is going to judge the world in righteousness. A fire is kindled in His anger against this world, and it will burn to the lowest hell. Because the God of this world is judged. Verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed, they fled and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die.
They fled just like Adam and Eve in the garden. From their only hope, they needed to die. You need to die to your hopes, to your carnal confidences, to your refuges. And you need to hide yourself in the rock for fear of the Lord and the glory of His majesty. Run into the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower. Flee from the wrath to come. Who has warned thee to flee from the wrath to come, Pharisees? They're not fleeing. They're taking it easy. And doing a bunch of sacrifices in rebellion of disobedience. Obey His voice. Me, obey Him. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. You can't keep the law. You need to obey Jesus Christ. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, and you are not under the law. But you need to remember that God is a consuming fire, and you can't play the fool with Him. You obey Him with all of your heart, and you'll survive. You'll endure to the end. You start playing around the voice of God with the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. You start taking it lightly. You start putting it off. I'll do that later. Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said to the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you. God has come to prove you. They forgot. They didn't realize the point. They don't want to fear. They don't want to be afraid. It's uncomfortable to fear. We want to think that God is like us. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thee thyself, but I will reprove thee to thy face and set them in order before thine eyes. Psalm 50. He's not, brethren. He's holy. Be not conformed to the world, to your own flesh, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind every day, brethren. Exhort one another lest we be hardened with the deceivings of sin and start making a Santa Claus instead of Jesus Christ. Instead of God that spake the world into existence, that holds them in the palm of His hand by His Word. The living God. The living God. Worship Him. Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be for your faces, that ye sin not. There is no replacement for the fear of God. And they ran from God's only remedy. They should have stood in there and feared. He deserves fear. He ought to be feared. He's worthy of fear. He won't have it any other way. And you won't make it any other way. His fear must be before your faces. The judgment. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I'll see you at the judgment, brethren. I will see you at the judgment. You'll know that you are warned. Whom we speak, preach, warning every man. Warning every man with all wisdom. Paul says, let this seep into your heart. God is holy. The old angels aren't saying, love, love, love is the Lord God Almighty. They aren't infatuated with that aspect, that attribute, though that goes hand in hand with His fear. No! They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. Is that your heart cry? Is that what you rejoice in? People see you. And they ask, what's the gospel? What God do you serve? Why do you live your life the way you do? Is this their first impression? This man serves a holy God. This man fears God. For every man will walk up to the name of their gods. But but we will walk after the name of the Lord our God. His name is holy. 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 And an highway shall be there, and a way. There's one way. The way of holiness. Pilgrim's Progress. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den. And I laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags standing in a certain place with his face from his own house, a book in his hand and a great burden upon his back. I looked and saw him open the book and read therein. And as he read the book, he wept and trembled. And not being able to contain, he broke out with a lamentable cry, "What shall I do in this plight?" Therefore he went home and refrained himself as long as he could, that his wife and children should not perceive his distress. But he could not be silent long, because that his trouble increased. Wherefore at length he broke his mind to his wife and children, and thus he began to talk to them. "Oh, my dear wife," said he, "you, the children of my bowels, I, your dear friend, am in myself undone by reason of the burden that lieth hard upon me. Moreover, I am for certain informed that this our city will be burned with fire from heaven, in which fearful overthrow both myself with thee, my wife, and you, my sweet babes, shall miserably come to ruin, except the which yet I see not some way of escape may be found, whereby we may be delivered." At this his relations were sore amazed, not for that they believed that what he had said to them was true, but because they thought that some frenzy, distemper, had got into his head. Therefore, it drawing toward the night, and they hoping that sleep might settle his brains, with all haste they got him to bed. But the night was as troublesome to him as the day. Wherefore, instead of sleeping, he spent it in sighs and tears of the judgment to come. So when the morning was come, they would know how he did. He told them worse and worse. He also set to talking to them again. But they began to be hardened. They also thought to drive away his distemper by harsh and surly carriages to him. Sometimes they would deride, sometimes they would chide, and sometimes they would quite neglect him. Wherefore he began to retire himself to his chamber, to pray for and pity them, and also to condole his own misery. He would also walk solitarily in the fields, sometimes reading, and sometimes praying. And thus for some days he spent his time. Now I saw upon a time, when he was walking in the fields, that he was, as he was wont, reading in his book, and greatly distressed in his mind. And as he read, he burst out, as he had done before, crying, "What shall I do to be saved?" I saw also that he looked this way and that way, as if he would run. Yet he stood still, because as I perceived, he could not tell which way to go. I looked then and saw a man named Evangelist coming to him and asked him, "Wherefore dost thou cry?" He answered, "Sir, I perceive by the book in my hand that I am condemned to die, and after that come to the judgment, and I find that I am not willing to do the first, nor able to do the second, to come to the judgment." Then said Evangelist, "Why not willing to die, since this life is attended with so many evils?" The man answered, "Because I fear that this burden that is upon my back will sink me lower than the grave, and I shall fall into Tophet, to hell. And sir, if I be not fit to go to prison, I am not fit to go to judgment, and from thence to execution, and the thoughts of these things make me cry." Then said Evangelist, "If this be thy condition, why standest thou still?" He answered, "Because I know not whither to go." Then he gave him a parchment roll, and there was written within, "Fly from the wrath to come! Flee from the wrath to come!" The man therefore read it, looking upon Evangelist very carefully, said, "Whither must I fly?
Then said Evangelist, pointing his finger over a very wide field, "Do you see yonder wicket gate, the straight gate?" The man said, "No." Then said the other, "Do you see yonder shining light, shining light?" He said, "I think I do." Then said Evangelist, "Keep that light in your eye. Ponder the path of your feet, and turn not to the right hand or the left, and go up directly thereto. So shalt thou see the gate, at which when thou knockest, it shall be told thee what thou shalt do. Walk in the light that you have." So I saw in my dream that the man began to run. Now he had not run far from his door, but his wife and children, perceiving it, began to cry after him to return. But the man put his fingers in his ears. The man put his fingers in his ears and ran on crying, "Life! Life! Eternal life!" So he looked not behind him, but fled toward the middle of the plain. The neighbors also came out to see him run. And as he ran, some mocked, others threatened, and some cried after him to return. Now among those that did so, there were two that were resolved to fetch him back by force. The name of the one was Obstinate, and the name of the other Pliable. Now, however, they were resolved to pursue him, which they did. In a little time, they overtook him. Then said the man, "Neighbors, wherefore are you come? Why are you come?" They said, "To persuade you to go back with us." But he said that can by no means be. "You dwell in the city of destruction, the place also where I was born. I see it to be so. And dying there sooner or later, you will sink lower than the grave into a place that burns with fire and brimstone. Be content, good neighbors. Go along with me. They shall fight against thee. They shall not overcome thee." Don't go back that way. "What," said Obstinate, "and leave our friends and our comforts behind us?" "Yes," said Christian, for that was his name, "because that all which you shall forsake is not worthy to be compared with a little of that I am seeking to enjoy. And if you will go along with me and hold it, you shall fare as I myself. For there where I go is enough and to spare. Come away and prove my words." And the Lord said unto Moses, verse 22, "Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, or make unto you gods of gold." This is about 3 months after the Exodus. It was about a month later. Moses went up 40 days. About a month later that the people in Exodus 32 fell into apostasy and made them a god of gold, because they thought God was like them. And they used their most precious substances to make a calf. Brethren, no flesh will glory in his presence. He spake by a voice. And the Lord said, "Thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen, the Lord Jesus Christ is that altar of earth. And upon his sacrifice, that's where we make our sacrifices. And upon the light, walking in the light as he is in the light, that's where we do our sacrifice of evangelism, and our sacrifice of praise, and our sacrifice of singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Upon that earthen altar. But not upon this great temple, this great form of worship, this great pretense of long prayers and hypocrisy of flesh. An altar of earth thou shalt make on me, a very humble altar of earth, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, where I really see that I'm being worshipped in spirit and in truth, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. That's why when we have a prayer meeting like Thursday, and God doesn't come in power, there's a problem. He says, in all places where I record my name, where I'm being really worshipped, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. I will manifest myself. If you're keeping his commandments and doing them, he'll come. And that's how you know you're right with God. Don't you feel right? Don't you done a bunch of sacrifices? Don't you have some experience?
because the Lord is having liberty. He hath given the Holy Ghost to them that obey Him, because great grace is upon you, teaching you, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Perpetually, you should live soberly, righteously, and godly, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might redeem us by us back from the wrath that was upon us, from all iniquity, purified Himself, peculiar people, and zealous of good works. If you had a conscientiousness of the fear of God, of the judgment of God, if you knew, brethren, what it means that it's appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment, you'd be fleeing from the wrath to come. Not just one time. No, all the time. One time unto true salvation, and then all the time unto sanctification. Are you still on the run, brethren? Pilgrim never stops. Christian in Pilgrim's Progress never stopped running. He was ever conscientious of the fear of God, even to the point when he came to Jordan and he's about to cross. Everything he did was propelled by this judgment, where God will judge the secrets of men's hearts. Eternal judgment, right? We cannot move on to the meat of the word unless this sticks and stops falling by the wayside. And then God says, in all places where I record my name, where I see my name, worship in spirit and truth, in my spirit, the Holy Spirit, where the holy angel is crying, holy, 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 and smoke is ascending through the room, and it's all quaking. And Isaiah is crying, woe is me, I am undone, the Holy Spirit. I want God to be pleased to visit us. I want God to be delighted to come in our midst. But brethren, He is holy. And He will be worshipped in due order. He will not be worshipped by flesh. Don't touch the ark, brethren. Stay in your place. Fear God and meddle not with those that are given to change. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. Mortify the needs of your body. That's not how you're to worship God. Be not conformed to your body, to your flesh, to your heart, that is deceitful, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that God can record His name, and I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. I want a blessing. I want to meet with God in these prayer meetings. I want to be a people that glory in Jehovah, the living God, in the demonstration of His Spirit and power. Every day, I want to walk with God. He's God. He's the Lord. He's the boss. He's the King of kings. He's Almighty God, immortal, invisible, God only wise. The Almighty. The Prince of the kings of the earth. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. I don't want to see the flesh of men touching it. Type of Christ. Don't touch Jesus Christ. He's alive. He'll come if we please Him. Don't make a false Jesus, because He's not pleased to compromise and make an altar of your own making. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stones. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. You have defiled Jesus Christ, and you have turned to idolatry. Quickly out of the way, and the wrath of God will be upon you again. If you trust in your flesh, if you profess yourself to be wise and become fools, and turn the glory of the immortal God into an image made like unto beasts, and animals like people, like you yourself. He's not like us. He's not like His culture. Brethren, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. And the implication there is that the heathen, when they would worship their gods, would make these great, huge altars, very high. They go up in the high mountains. They thought they could get closer to God through being up very high. They're all about the carnality. They're all about the form of things. They're trying to look spiritual. Are you, when you pray? Are you, when you fast, trying to do it before men?
Are you trying to look like you're a Christian? Are you trying to justify yourself before men, or let the Spirit of God bear witness with yourself and with others as you obey Him, as you walk before your God and do justly and walk mercy and walk humbly with thy God? Thou shalt not go up by steps unto mine altar. No, don't do as the heathen do. He wanted a simple altar, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. That I blot you not out of my book. Because you added unto my word, and you took away from it, and you made a god of your own making. And you heaped yourself teachers having itching ears, and you were turned unto fables. That's why we must preach the word, brethren. Be instant, in season, out of season. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not enduring sound doctrine. Preach the word. Our flesh is not enduring sound doctrine. If we are overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, please restore this man so God can see his name and come and bless us. Brethren, if we don't have the Lord with us, we are of all men most miserable. Keep a watch on yourselves. Keep a watch on the brethren. Love your brother and rebuke him. Please, for God's sake. I want God. Exodus. Chapter 24. These first two verses are the last commands that God gave to Moses. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. I'll show you the transition if you will look in Exodus chapter 20. This was the transition. God had said in verse 22, the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, because Moses had drawn near to the Lord when the people ran away. And God had given Moses the command, starting with idolatry and commanding against it, and then all these different commands about how they are to behave and act themselves as the people of God in covenant with the Lord. And then the last two verses of that sequence where God is up with the Lord on the mount. The last two verses, verse 1 and 2 of Exodus 24. He said, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord. They shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And here's Moses, comes back to the people now. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. So all the judgment, the last couple chapters, Moses came and orally spake those to the people. And all the people answered with one voice and said, again, it's the second time, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. They thought within themselves that they were righteous. They're choosing the law of works, of sin and death, because they don't realize how holy God is, because they ran from His presence. They ran from His Spirit when He was trying to teach them the fear of God. And Moses, now after he orally told them, wrote the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. He took the book of the covenant, all these things he had wrote down, all these judgments God had given them, and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. He hadn't got the Ten Commandments yet that were written by the finger of God. He had all these other commandments that he had written down. Though. And the people said a third time, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then after they got the blood upon them, that type of Christ, and they were cleansed, then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. They didn't see His form. You'll notice that, but they saw somewhat of a vision, somewhat of a cloud, but they didn't see His image, so to speak. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness, the way it's written is in such a way that you won't be imagining some picture and putting some idol to who Jesus is and seeing some face. That's the way it's always written. People saw the Lord. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Remember how angry he was at seeing his tone of voice was so intense before the blood was on them? But now that the blood is on them, also they saw God and they did eat and drink. And they did eat and drink. They weren't terrified and fleeing because the blood was on them of this covenant that God had made. There must be a covenant. He's holy, brethren. You must be under the blood. And then he'll be pleased with you. If you're in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship in the blood of his Son, cleansed from all sin. And yes, he loves you. He's pleased with you, brethren. But if you get away from the light, obeying the voice of the Lord, he's not pleased with you. He's pleased with the blood. He's pleased with Jesus Christ. It's just stay in the light. And the more you're in the light, the more you draw nigh to God, the more pleased he is with you, the more he's going to draw nigh to you. But he's a pure eyes and behold iniquity, willful rebellion. There's a difference between presumptuous sin and secret faults. Presumptuous sin is willful sin. You're willfully sinning against what you know is so. And secret faults are those things you don't know. And the Lord covers you so merciful in those ways. But you're willing to know. Your whole heart's on the altar. You're perfect toward God in your heart. Just keep your heart right with God. And then stay in subjection one to another in the fear of God, brethren. Because you're going to have blind spots that you can't recognize like others can. You can't see your faults like other people. That's why he had instituted the growth of this holy nation, this peculiar people, many sons being brought into glory in the context of a local church. That's why. So we'll survive, brethren, and not get picked off. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. This is where he was when Exodus 32 takes place. The next six chapters, 25 through 31. That was what he got when he was up in the mountain. God gave him the vision. He's staying up on the mountain. He's hearing from God. He's getting the vision. And that's from the people. This is right after Mount Sinai because they didn't get the fear of God. They turn out of the way so quickly, brethren. It is astounding. And brethren, you will too if you don't fear God. If you do not fear God, you will turn to the right hand in a moment, brethren. And the wrath of God will be kindled against you because you're going to make an idol, a false Jesus, brethren. If you don't see the fear of God on Mount Sinai and let it be embraced and let it hit the heart and let it be soaked in a little. I'm begging you, brethren. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the cloud, and a cloud covered the mount. A cloud covered the mount so they couldn't see. And the glory of the Lord abode upon this Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Do you see how much that man waits upon God for you? He waits 6 days. And on the seventh day, God calls him out of the mount and says, come on, I'm ready to speak to you. He waited. He stilled his heart before God. So that when he came, he had the right frame of mind to hear from God, to hear that still small voice. Are you waiting on the Lord? Are you patient? Can you slow down and sit at his feet for a minute? You're not going to hear from him if not. He that hasteth with his feet sinneth. Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about with many things. This one thing is needed. And Mary hath chosen that one good thing. Have you? In the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, getting the vision to build the ark of God, the temple of God. Just like God had given Noah the vision, he didn't give the youngers the vision. He didn't give his sons the vision. Just like God had given David the vision, he didn't give Solomon the vision. He gave David the vision. Solomon had to listen to David. He was the head. He didn't give Israel the vision. He gave David the vision. And he gave Moses the vision. And the people were so carnal. They were so unbelieving. They so meddled about with those that are given the change.
that in those 40 days, that was 4 months, around 4 months toward the end of that, between 3 and 4 months after they'd come out of Egypt and they'd seen the Exodus and all the miracles and all the signs where God pleads with all flesh, they apostatized out of the way and they made that calf. And that's why we need the fear of God, because we're still people. We're made of the same mold as them in our old man. And you will do the same thing if you don't fear God. But that's not what's setting you apart from other professing Christians. Everyone says they love Jesus, but do you fear Him? Exodus 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, remember Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. But brethren, if you fear God, if by faith you can perceive the judgment of God at all times, if you get this and you're convinced like Nehemiah, Nehemiah was doing judgment and righteousness, though there was no judgment being executed speedily. A Christian is able to walk with God. A Christian is able not to turn aside to the right and to the left and fall away because they're ever conscious of the terror of the Lord by the grace of God. Are you? Let this be important. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said unto him, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. It's like the Lord says of the end times, the times that we live in. 2 Peter chapter 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. They want a God that will allow them to partake of their lusts and go to heaven too. They want a God that doesn't require complete and utter death to yourself and life to Christ. Scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, because He's delaying to come for judgment, because they're not conscious of the judgment to come, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, were kept in store, reserved in a fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that all these things will be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for, conscience of, and hasting unto the coming, the judgment of the day of God, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blames. In account, consider, understand that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. It's working for your salvation. It's necessary. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable, that means halting between opinions, double-minded in all their ways, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, twist, as they do also to other scriptures, under their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, beware lest ye also
being led away with the error of the wicked Christians. Brethren, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Patrick Hamilton, burned at the stake around 1528. For righteousness' sake. Ever present. Ever conscious. Ever acknowledging the judgment of God. After having a conversation with Aless, that is a Roman Catholic, Hamilton was speedily hurried to the stake, the combustibles being prepared before the old college. He walked out with fortitude, evincing at once to his ungodly persecutors the faith of a Christian and the patience of a martyr. Having approached the place of martyrdom, where a great concourse of spectators had assembled, he put off his clothes and gave them to the faithful domestic who had long attended him. "This stuff," said he, "will not help me in the fire, yet will do thee some good. I have no more to leave thee but the example of my death, which I pray thee keep in mind, for albeit the same be bitter and painful in man's judgment, yet it is the entrance to everlasting life, which none can inherit who deny Christ before this wicked generation." The martyr then raised his eyes toward heaven in holy devotion and commended himself in prayer to God of all consolation. The executioner speedily bound him to the stake amid timber, coals, and other combustibles, and the match was laid to the train of powder by which it was to be lighted. It did not succeed, and the explosion scorched only his face and his hands. His face and his hands were scorched while his murderers were bringing more powder. He remained in this painful situation. He had explosives attached to him, and this explosion didn't utterly set the fire, but only blew up his face, blew up his hands. It did not succeed, and the explosion scorched only his face and hands. While his murderers were bringing more powder, he remained in this painful situation, addressing the spectators, and beseeching them to look to their own salvation during this time. He was repeatedly interrupted by Campbell, the prior of the Black Friars, who called upon him, quotations, to recant, to pray to Our Lady and say, "Salve Regina." This indecent disturbance being often repeated by the priest, a disturbance so much the more violent as it was embittering the last moments of a man who needed other consolations. Hamilton, burned up, preaching to the people, "Look to your own souls," turned towards him, this man, this Roman Catholic, and with an audible voice said, "Thou wicked man, thou knowest that I am not an heretic, and that it is for the truth of God which I now suffer. So much didst thou confess to me in private, and therefore I appeal thee to answer before the judgment seat of Christ for this thy hypocrisy." Hamilton wasn't thinking of the judgment. You think he didn't have an inclination to escape the fire? This was a young man. He was above others in his learning for his age. He was only about 24 years old. This man was a rich, noble birth that traveled all over the world. You think he didn't have temptation to flee? To compromise just a wee little bit? He's 24 years old. He's at the prime of his life. He is a rich man in carnal ways. He could speak. He could think. He was learned. He believed that God was holy. And he endured a scene this invisible judgment that hasn't come yet, but he knows that God will do right.
And it will be well for the righteous. Verily a man will say, there is a God that judges in the earth one day. And by faith we know. The fanatical priest, for the martyr had felt his indignation arise at the thoughts of his having betrayed him, retired abashed and confounded amid the wandering friars. And the fact that he died in a year afterwards of a distemper which excited a frenzy, he went mad, during which haunted by remorse for his baseness toward Hamilton, he frequently called out his name, served to confirm the populace in their belief that the martyr had uttered prophetic testimony. That man lost his mind for guilt, of regret, for his wicked deed toward Hamilton. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Flee from it. It will be well for the righteous. Verily, there will be a God that judges in the earth. There is. He keeps a book of remembrance, brethren. And your righteousness is written down. But fear God unto the end. Be faithful unto death, and you will not be hurt of the second death. Eternal judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. God judges righteously. He tries the heart. All the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And he ponders all of your goings. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharp and two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of bones and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And all things are naked and open before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Who is on the Lord's side?
Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers? Other lives to
Thou hast bought us not with gold.
blessing filling, each who comes to thee. Thou hast made us willing, thou hast made us free. By thy grand redemption, by thy grace divine, truth unchanging makes the triumph sure.